Some of you are saying, thank you, Lord, I'm not there anymore. Some of you are saying, you know, maybe we don't need to have children. Hey, I want to welcome those watching in Duval, Issaquah, and online as well, as we're in this series, Raising Amazing Kids. And this week, I just got to let you know, is probably the most specific to parenting. I think there are some things that you can draw in other relationships as well. But of the series, this will be the one that really is going to be most specific to parenting, or really anyone who interacts with kids. We're also having a lot of fun this weekend with the Super Bowl rematch. Hope it goes a little bit better than last week, I'm praying. And though as a pastor, I'm a little conflicted because, you know, I really want the Seahawks to win, and if they don't win, a lot more people come to church. So I win either way. So, I have some of you say, you know, I don't know if you should even be talking about football in church, and evidently you don't know Jesus yet. Just for a little levity, where I have some advice from the internet for teenagers and their parents. Teenager, this is a definition, a person who is better prepared for a zombie apocalypse than tomorrow's third period math test. That's great if you have a teenager. Here's one. This one takes a while to get. Welcome to being a parent of a teenager. Prepare for a large amount of eye-rolling, emotional outbursts, and thoughts of running away, and that's just the parents. And here's a final one. Teenagers, tired of being harassed by your parents, act now, move out, get a job, and pay your own way, quick, while you still know everything. Well, we are having a little fun, but we're talking about those areas of conflict that come in a family relationship, and with specific attention to that a parent and a child, whether that child is 2 or 12 or 42, although we're going to be focused a little bit more on kids who are in the home. Now, last week, the big idea was our goal as parents, those who influence kids, is to help them primarily to make good decisions. And how do we help them make their own good decisions? Is by letting them sometimes make what kind of decisions? Bad decisions. And then after they make bad decisions, what do we do? Do we just say, okay, you know, you made a bad decision, I hope you learned something? No. That's where direction and correction come into play. And the Bible has a word for this, and this word really is discipline. And discipline comes from the word that means to disciple, to be a follower, to be fully formed, and that's really describing those of us who follow Jesus Christ. Well, today what I really want you to do is to be encouraged. And I know we're at different places. Some of you say, hey, I've got this down. This is going to be a great reminder. Others of you, you primarily come to church to get a one-hour respite from your children. And then you inflict them on the children's worker. But wherever you're at, whether you feel like you're an expert or you feel particularly challenged, I think the scripture has a lot to say to us. Let's go ahead and take our outline out of our program now. And we're going to look at the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And this really is talking about how God relates to us. And I think we can extrapolate that to our own children as well. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And so when God sees us going in a direction that we shouldn't go, God, because he loves us, he will get our attention and call us back. Literally every week I get emails from people who say, you know, I was going this way, and there are these circumstances in my life, and I now see that God allowed those circumstances in my life, because otherwise I would have kept on going this way, and this way was leading me away from God and God's best in my life. And although I wouldn't have chosen to lose my job or to get in that fight or to have that problem that I had, that addictive behavior, I'm thankful that I had that experience, not for the experience, but because it turned me back towards God and God's ways. And see, that's really what discipline is. And this is our first fill-in. Discipline is correction driven by love. Discipline is correction driven by love. Now, the primary reason we discipline, it's loving confrontation. Now, there has been a lot of stories in the news about, particularly about sports figures and some about parenting, and really, I would say not discipline, but really going towards child abuse. And I was thinking, well, should I even hit this topic? Because I'm going to talk about things, and there's going to be some of you who will disagree with me. And by the way, you can disagree with me. You can be wrong on anything you want to. But I know there's going to be those emails, oh, you should do this or you should do that. But I thought, no, this is a particular time. We need to look at not emotional reaction or overreaction, but how do we discipline, especially for those of you who would have younger children in the home? Because we see those who overreact. We see those who act in anger and really go well beyond correction to something that's more about them and is not discipline at all. It's an overreaction. And then we see those who underreact. Any of you ever been to Target? You see people who, there's a kid going wild and there's a parent who acts like they don't know the child? Yeah, that we see that all the time. And some of you didn't even believe in spanking until you saw that kid. No, but there's some place really in between that I think is a healthy place that God would lead us to. And even if you don't have a child or you don't even want to hang around children ever in your life, I think what you'll understand through our time together is how God relates to you in love, even in those difficult times, even when God is telling you to go a different way. And I hope you're there. I hope your heart is open. I believe there is hope for absolutely everyone, except those who would say, I have nothing to learn, no one can teach me anything. Then we put ourselves in a dangerous place. Well, before we look at God's plan, I want to look at some just common self-defeating parenting behaviors. And I touched on a couple of these last week. One is to rescue from consequences. Helicopter parents. We know, little Johnny's in trouble, and so mom swoops in to save the day. Oh, little Johnny, it's going to be okay. You forgot your lunch. And so what do? You go to the school, and you bring Johnny his lunch. And if you do that, that's okay. It's okay. We're just among friends here. You're a helicopter parent. Now, if Johnny does that and he's a sophomore in high school, you're really a helicopter parent. If he's a sophomore in college, you need a counselor. We'll do that. And we do that with the best of intentions. If you're a helicopter parent, I don't doubt your love for your child. I'm just saying it's not helpful. By the way, I talk to a lot of helicopter parents whose kids are 30, and they're still swooping in to save the day. And what happens is every year, the cost gets higher of you intervening. I'm not saying when they need real help, but if they're never able to struggle through difficulty, they'll never know how to struggle through difficulty. See, the goal is to parent like God parents us, that God doesn't smite us for our mistakes, but he doesn't spare us from the consequences either. And let's deal with another kind of parenting mistake, and that's providing inconsistent discipline. This is where we sort of change our behavior, our way of parenting, our boundaries, that they can't really count on anything. Maybe it's because you don't have a mooring yourself. See, I think one of the great things about following God is not only what he gives us through Jesus Christ, that we don't have to pay for our own sins, but God pays the price for us, but he shows us a way to live. And in the scripture, if you read the Bible, the Bible is really God's word to us. We don't worship the Bible, but it's God's inspired word to us that tells us how to live. And maybe you're not sure if you even believe the Bible. We've done a couple of messages on how you can really learn to trust what the scripture says. And that can give you some foundation for you and for your children. And then there's an ununified approach. This is a big one. Is that basically what happens is your children are experts in warfare. Do you know that? Do you know what their number one tactic is? Divide and conquer. Yeah, so let me go ahead and those watching in the campuses to raise your hand if ever you have had your child come and ask you for something, didn't get the answer they want, and they went to the other parent. How many of you has that ever happened? 100%, come on, let's see who's telling the truth here. Yeah, how many of you that's happened in the last year? On the way to church. No, because these little sinners, what they'll do is they will try to manipulate you. And do you know where they learned that from? Yeah, no, I won't say that because I'll get in trouble. I was going to make some joke like they learned it from their mother, but I knew I would get in trouble, especially from my wife. And today's her birthday, but she doesn't like to know that anyone to know that it's her birthday today. So I'm not telling anyone. So what we have to do is we have, I just thought I'd work that in there somewhere. There has to be some advantage to being the pastor and not being able to get to go to the football game. So really what happens is your kids will naturally want to get their own way. That's called being our own boss. It's called the sin nature. Now here's where the real problem happens, is you are not getting along with your spouse. And that will happen from time to time. It will happen from time to time over the course of a year, a month, a week, a day. And so you can say, hey, I can get a little advantage here. I will be the good guy, or I will be the real parent and lay down the rules. What you're doing is providing an unstable atmosphere for your child, because stability is really the most important thing you can give them, especially one that's grounded in God's truth. Last weekend, had a number of parents come to me. Well, I'm divorced, and we don't agree on parenting. I'm sure that's probably the norm. That's why it's so important to get a parenting plan together. And here's what will sometimes happen. Sometimes they'll be living by values that are diametrically opposed to yours, and I get that. Sometimes we can take the hurt of the divorce and what is a real issue, but let's face it, it's not a hill to die on. We turn into a real big issue, and we don't get resolution. And then so there's no stability for the kids. And so if you are working through a parenting plan with another parent that's not in the home, I would just encourage you to give it your very best effort. And well, what happens if they're, and this is, you know, this will happen. Well, what happens if they just have completely different rules? Then you just say, hey, when you're with me, these are the rules. And I know you might not totally understand it today, but it's because I love you. Never do it to get an advantage, whether your spouse is in the home, whether the other parent is outside of the home. So let's shift gears here and look at what are the positive steps towards providing direction and correction, what the scripture would call discipline. And these are, as I said, they're hopefully going to be nothing absolutely new to you, but they're probably things that none of us are practicing fully. And I, especially this first one you're going to know, but most of us do little, and that's establish boundaries. To establish boundaries, that we define reality for our kids, especially young kids. I did a message, Parenting Roles. When your kids are real little, you are the one who sort of calls the shots. We're not gonna, you know, talk a two-year-old, hey, what do you think we should have for dinner tonight, you know? Or an eight-year-old. No, you call the shots. And as they get older, they get more responsibility. Because if you don't establish boundaries, kids can, how many of you have ever seen the movie Talladega Nights? Okay, if you haven't, here's a scene that will inspire many of you. Take a look at this. Some of you are saying, see, it could be worse. Well, we've all run into those kids who really have had no boundaries. And really what boundaries are is saying, this is where you can experience freedom. I've mentioned this before. There have been studies done literally on a playground, playgrounds with fences and with fences and without fences. The ones without fences, what they've learned in the studies is the kids use less of the playground at the elementary school because they actually don't feel as free to explore and to check out because they just don't know if it's safe. Now, here's the problem. Not many of your kids will come and say, you know what? I think I need more boundaries in my life. You know, I was really thinking that, how about, could you give me a curfew? I think I really need a curfew. No, they won't do that. They won't say, you know, hey, I know you're just trying to help me become a very self-actualized human being, and that's why you're establishing these boundaries. No, what they'll usually do is they'll say, you're not being fair. Have you ever heard that before? How about everybody else gets to do it? Have you ever heard that before? Yeah, you know, you don't have older children then if you haven't heard that before. And what you need to do is pray about it. And as I said, I always lead with a yes. So the boundaries that are in place are there for a good reason, not just because I feel that there needs to be some boundaries. And in fact, my youngest daughter came to me at one point and said, literally, said, you know, we just don't have as many rules as some kids. And I said, that's because you've never given me a reason to. Once you start going outside of the bounds, then you're going to get some more rules. And she said, get it. So, and what will happen is, especially if you have younger kids in the house and older kids, they'll work you one to another, you know, and I've heard this before when our kids were younger, oh, you just love so-and-so more than you love me. And what I do is I just roll with it. I say, absolutely right, you know, that's true. We've always loved that one more than we love you. In fact, when you're gone at school, we go to Disneyland. We fly down there. We have a whole storage unit full of toys you never get to play with. And yeah, this is sort of your life. Enjoy it. Seriously, you're the adult. Why don't we do this? And I'd say there's two reasons that I primarily see. One is that you were in an abusive environment. And the rules, it wasn't correction and love. It was punishment. And you were made to feel less than. And so you have no rules. I know this, you know, I grew up sort of with hippie parents, not a lot of rules, and it wasn't always that good. Don't let someone else's sin determine your behavior in other relationships, whether it's correction or direction or anything else. The great thing about being in Jesus Christ, I wasn't raised with all this, with Christianity, never went to a church in my life growing up. one of the things I learned is when I first encountered Jesus is that I could be made new. Is that the only determiner in my life needed to be God's work in my life. And that is so freeing. And then you don't have to worry about what happened or didn't happen to you. So some of us, we were raised in those, or maybe for some of us, it's our own mistakes. And you feel like you've lost moral authority. How can I tell my kids not to do it when I did it? You know what it's called? It's called learning from your mistakes and calling a failure and a sin a sin. You know what that's also called? That's called maturity. When we can say, yeah, no, I did that and that was wrong. And just because I made that mistake, in fact, maybe because I made that mistake, that I'm going to help point you in a different direction. Some of you are raised with very loving, good, and godly parents. And I would just say, if you say, you know, my parents are really great people, follow that example. And if you didn't have that example, then let God set the boundaries in your life. It says in the scripture, we're told in Proverbs 19:18, discipline your children while they're young enough to learn. If you don't, you're helping them destroy themselves. And then in 29:17, discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Number two, expect first time and cheerful obedience. And this is particularly for younger kids, is that not to play the game. Is that we say, hey, when we say something, because hopefully you've learned to lead with a yes, unless there's a reason to give a no. And then it's like, yeah, it's not a negotiation. We don't do the one and a half. All you're doing is teaching them that they really don't have to listen to you at first. The scripture says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Number three, never discipline in anger. See, that's where if you've experienced abuse, that's not discipline. Really, that's about punishment. And discipline is correction driven by love. It's direction and correction. It's not about punishing for something. And if you're angry, then maybe there needs to be a timeout. And I'm not talking about your kids. I'm talking about you. In fact, one time I went to a seminar, a psychologist was saying that if you really are prone to rage, to get really angry, and there's some of us who are that way, one of the things you can just say out loud is, I'm safe. And you might say, I don't feel unsafe. Literally, when you're getting out of control, you feel for some reason unsafe. And that will start to calm you down. Never discipline in anger. In your anger, do not sin. And there are all sorts of ways to discipline. If you have younger kids, there are timeouts, removal of privileges, natural consequences. And I know parents feel differently on this spanking. And here, let me just be real clear what spanking is. If that's a form of discipline you choose to use, there's really only one place and it has a lot of padding. And it should really never leave a mark because you probably went overboard. And sometimes with younger kids, it can get their attention. Number four, discipline promptly with instruction. And this is really important. We read this verse last week, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The first thing we want to do is when we're disciplining is we're correcting, especially with the older, hey, what do you think you did wrong? That's a great question. Because, you know, the older they get, they're like, I got caught. You know, no, that's not what you did wrong. Let's get to actually the action you did that was wrong. And then a great follow-up question is, how could you handle it better next time? It doesn't mean there's not consequences for the decision, but there's instruction. And the older your kids get, the more sparing you should be with instruction. Because here's what happens, is that if you're giving them instruction all the time, you know who you become? You become the adults from Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. And they literally can't hear you. So if the goal is to say it, just say as much as you want. If the goal is to change behavior and be heard, then sometimes you're going to have to say, you know what, this one, okay, they left on the lights. I don't know about you, I'm the keeper of the electricity in my house. That's my role. That's my God-given assignment on earth from the Lord Jesus Christ to save electricity in my home. But there are times that I've learned, no matter how much it frustrates me, that, you know, that's not a battle that I'm going to fight every single time. What battles as a parent are you going to choose not to fight? And then what battles are you going to say, no, this is about their future. This is about what God wants to do in them. And so I'm going to speak to them. You have kids who are out of the house. You really need to learn this. Because your role is not, you're not the parent, you're not to tell them what to do. And I just want to say this because we have people who have kids out of the house. Now, if they're in college and you're paying the bills, tell them what to do. But after that, after that, your role is to influence. And so would really encourage you to choose what you say. Well, how do you discipline? Now, this is for kids who are in the home. I was looking at a book. It's an old book now. It's by James Dobson, Dare to Discipline. And here are some of the principles in it. Always do it calmly. We talked about that. Quickly. We should make it sure, especially for younger kids, otherwise they're not going to know what they're being disciplined for. Discipline sparingly. I talked about that. Related to the behavior. Make sure there's a connection. You know, if you don't pay your phone bill, they don't turn off your water. You know, it's always related to the specific behavior. And then proportionate to whatever was done. If it's a big deal, then let it be a big deal. And go ahead and live there. If it's a little deal, let it be a little deal. You know, and you might say, hey, I don't even know how to do this. That's one of the reasons we have so many. We have about 100 growth groups. I think 500 or 600 of you have already signed up. We have growth groups starting in a couple weeks. And a number of those are on parenting. It's not to teach you a lot about parenting. It's about learning together around God's Word, connecting in community. And so I encourage you to maybe check out one of those growth groups. Now, not all the growth groups are parenting groups. In fact, maybe you've been focused so much on parenting, you just need to take a break from that. But what they do provide is community with other people who love God and love you around Scripture. For Terry and I, my wife Terry and I, there's three things in particular we discipline around. And one is dishonesty. Fortunately, that has not been a real big issue in our house. The last time I can really remember is when my youngest child was 3 or 4 years old. I've shared this before. Probably the last time I really remember her lying to me. She was in the pantry, and I said, "What are you doing in there?" And she came out, and she had chocolate all over her. And I said, "Bethany, did you eat a chocolate bar?" She goes, "No." "Don't know what you're talking about." And she got disciplined, so she's never lied again. Anyway, there's also disobedience, where it's directly, and then disrespect, because that will not serve them well in life as well. Number five, apologize when I'm wrong. What you do, when you admit your own mistakes, you're creating a safe environment for discipline. By the way, again, if you have children who are out of the home, one of the best things you can do is to mend a broken relationship, is to admit the mistakes you've made as a parent. Because we've all made mistakes. When my wife and I were saving for college, I didn't know if it was a college fund or a therapy trust fund for a while, but because we all make mistakes as parents. It says in James 5:16, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live whole and healed. So what's the goal? And this is what the goal is: self-governing convictions. And I just want to drive this home, because here's the goal: is we want self-governing convictions, because it starts with stage one, parental direction. You tell them what to do. This is a stage that shouldn't last too long, where that's primarily what's happening. And some of you need to focus on that if you have preschoolers in the home. And then there's self-direction. They do the right thing on their own. They sort of say, hey, this would be a good thing for me to do. But really the third stage, and this is what we're shooting for, is God's direction, where our kids will say, hey, God, what do you want me to do? What would be the thing that would honor you? I received this email a while back, and I got permission to read it. This is such an exciting time for us, and we're so proud of our daughter and her decision to be baptized. I must tell you, we were praising God, and it talks about specifically about one of our pastors, one of our youth pastors on staff, that has had so much influence on her. Last year, about this time, she told me that she wasn't sure she believed in God and was in tears, and she told me that she just didn't know if he was real or the Bible was true. It broke my heart because she was so honest and knew how important it was to us that she know and love Jesus. Today's a different story. Still, she has a lot of questions, of course, but I think she will be that type of person who always searches for nuggets of truth, and that's okay. How amazing is our God? And that's what we want for our kids. Or maybe you're here and you say, you know, hey, that's what I want for me. Again, I usually don't do this. I want to read you another email. This one I just got this last week. I grew up going to Sunday school, and in high school was part of a youth group from time to time. Went to a Young Life camp. It was the last time that I really felt close to God. And it talked about this person's profession in Seattle, and I, because of my profession, it's left me at times questioning my faith and asking why. At 39 years old, I've struggled from time to time with poor decision making and really felt like something was missing from my life. The answer is being God. I was at your service yesterday and looked up at you with tears at the end of the service if you gave an invitation to receive Christ. And although I don't have kids, I was still inspired, and I hope that you will say a prayer for me that I might release the reins and let God be a bigger part of my life. My prayer for all of us, whether you have kids in the home, outside of the home, or you say, you know, that's just not going to be part of my life, that you will be open to God's direction and correction in your life. In fact, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you give us to